The Marvel Cinematic Universe is a collection of movies that are loosely based on the Marvel comic books. I'm Junior.
And I'm Marcus.
Let's talk about it. This is a podcast exclusive episode.
That's true. Yeah. No, most of our episodes have been like ideas a YouTube, yeah, from other people.
Yeah. So hopefully you guys like these ones because we'll have plenty of them. Okay. So right off the bat, we're going to be talking about every single piece of the MCU except like comics. So we're going to be talking about the movies. We're going to be talking about the TV shows. We're going to be talking about them, you know, year by year.
The radio plays.
The stage shows.
The merchandise. The action figures.
MCU on ice.
Yeah. The underwear brand. It's great. How do you feel, Marcus?
Man, honestly, I'm very excited to talk about the underwear brand.
Yeah, specifically.
Captain America undies. They're my favorite. They have the most spandex and stretchability.
I really like that Hulk cologne.
Oh, yeah. It's got a really good musk smell to it.
It's nasty. Okay, so starting in 2008, we have the very first Iron Man. Also, this is based strictly on memory. We didn't go and watch all these just now.
Movies like we do with all of our other stuff, like the other stuff that we've watched.
Everything else.
Yeah. So this is just off the top of the dome.
Yep.
Iron Man 1.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Well, let's get through this list quickly. Iron Man 1.
Oh, you're going through the whole list.
The Incredible Hulk, kind of a sulk. Iron Man 2, stinky poo-poo. No, I'm kidding. Okay. Iron Man. So the first Iron Man, right? It's so funny because everyone on YouTube, everyone and their mother, everyone I know, like, they're always like, oh yeah, man, this is where the MCU started, and it's such a great start. It's such a mature story, and it's really great, and this is one of the best MCU movies ever. And dude, honestly, okay, I remember, first of all, so me, Junior, I've seen every MCU movie in theaters, okay? In theaters. I didn't, they were out, I saw all of them, okay? I may not have all the tickets still, but I was there, okay? When that movie came out, and I went to school the next day, I remember one kid said how much he loved it. And the rest of us were like, eh. Like, I'm not even kidding. We were all like, you know, there was so much story in this movie that, like, there's not much action in it, really.
Yeah. Iron Man 1 is it's a fun movie. I can't lie. I enjoy it. But you're right. The only bits of action in that movie are the ending and the start.
Yep.
That's
everything
about
else is
it.
Everything. Let's watch this lecherous billionaire.
Test.
Yeah.
Do tests.
Do tests and, like, run a business and then decide, I'm done with this business. Because Iron Man 1 has one of the greatest, like, introductions. I'll say that.
Yeah, I will agree with you on that. It's great.
The whole opening act is amazing.
It's a very good superhero origin story.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And so it was so great that they just imitated it in so many other MCU movies. We'll get to that. Now, here's the funny thing about this movie. The villain, Obadiah Stane.
Yes.
Who no one knew until this movie.
Correct.
He was like a nobody in the comic books. Like, oh. I swear he was not important.
You're 100% right.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he literally only worked with Tony's dad.
Yeah.
And then I don't even know if
was Tony... the Iron Monger even a, like, I know the Iron Monger existed, but like, was that Obadiah Stane in the comics? I don't remember.
You see, this is where we come in with flaws, Junior. We didn't read old comics. We're not like
like when we get to like other movies, we can talk, because like then it's like, hey, I know a bit about the Guardians of the Galaxy, but like we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Okay, so Obadiah Stane, right? You gotta love how the entire movie, as you said, Tony Stark is testing all this technology, right? Getting better. He has to learn how to fly. He has to learn how to use repulsor blasts. And then Obadiah Stane jumps in his own custom-made Iron Man suit. And then he just flies?
He's, perfect. Amazing.
Also, even weirder is the Iron Monger suit is really tall, right? Okay?
Yes.
Right? Okay, yeah. So we can agree. Tall. It's really tall.
Yeah. It's huge.
And it, like, bends at the knee. Where's Obadiah Stane's foot? Because if he bends the knee, isn't his, like, ankle going to break in half? I've always thought that when I was a kid. I always wondered, where are his legs in that suit?
It does bend.
Yeah, like the whole thing bends. All everything. Of it. So, like, what's his legs doing in that?
The arms literally bend at where your forearm would be.
Exactly.
He's got broken bones.
That's what I'm saying. I always thought that was weird. Huh. And no one else ever spoke about that, and they thought I was crazy. But I'm like, I'm telling you.
No, that's actually true.
Yeah, it's really weird.
That's crazy.
What else about that movie? Pepper Potts. I think this is, like, one of the few superhero movies where, like, they're not even a couple at the end.
Exactly.
Yeah. No. I remember thinking that was interesting.
Iron Man 1 is a fun movie because, like, it's a superhero movie. But, like, it's a superhero movie about anybody that could be this person, you know? Like, if you were a billionaire and you decided to put together a suit and go over to the Middle East and just blow up people, tell me you wouldn't.
You know? Okay, speaking of that, that's another really weird thing with Iron Man. Okay, so I am a very big fan of, there's a TV trope called Bleed 'Em and Weep. It's when a character kills somebody and then they feel terrible. I think that every person who has never killed anyone in movies or, like, anything, any form of media, I think that adds such a great degree to that because it's. I always feel weird when characters just kill nonchalantly and just like, oh, whatever.
Me too.
And Tony Stark, like, guy who, he's built weapons for war, yes, but he himself has never shot a gun, I'm assuming. Like, to kill someone at least, yeah, right?
No, he's probably shot to test.
He flies to Dubai and just murders all of these people. Just like nothing. Doesn't even bat an eye. And I understand that, like, okay, he's angry. Also, how did he get from Malibu to Dubai in, like, a day? But, like, less than a day? Whatever. But how fast is that suit going?
That's actually a good point.
That's another really funny thing about that movie. Yeah. It's still daytime.
It must be Mach 8.
It's still daytime.
Like, Mach 9, that thing is going super speed.
But I think that scene gives us a good idea of who Tony is. That scene. Mm. Right? The fact that he was willing to go back and do something about it. Yeah. But it also shows, like, you know, Tony's whole dilemma that he wants to save the entire world, but he can't, right? All he could do is save those few people.
A couple of people that he can.
Right.
Yeah, well, that's Tony needs to realize that he can't save everybody. You know?
Yeah.
That's, like, his whole character story throughout, like, the whole movie. You know?
All of the movies, like, together, yes. Yeah. But it is interesting that that's our first taste of it.
Yeah.
Right? Because Tony Stark at the beginning of the series is very different than Tony Stark at the end of the whole MCU. So it is a good start, though. It is a really good start. Also, the most iconic scene in the entire MCU, in my opinion, what set it apart from all the other superhero movies. We had Spider-Man. We had Ang Lee's Hulk. We had Ghost Rider. We had Daredevil. We had Punisher. We had all these other superhero movies in theaters that I also did see. It's so funny that at the end of this movie, what does he say? The very last lines in the movie. The truth is, I am Iron Man. And it's like, wow.
Yeah.
I remember being shocked at that in the theaters. I'm like, superheroes don't show their true identity.
Mm-hmm.
And that changed superhero movies forever. Because now, secret identities aren't a thing in any of the movies.
The only person that has a secret identity was Spider-Man.
That's it.
That, well, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But for real, though.
Yeah, nah, that's, you're 100% right.
There are no, they don't even call each other by their superhero names in the MCU.
It's very weird because, like, the whole concept of keeping a secret identity in comics was like, we gotta protect my friends and family. And
yep.
Blah, blah, blah. And, like, Tony Stark's whole thing is to protect his friends and family or whatever. But he was just like, nah, bro, I'm Iron Man. Try me, bro. Run up.
and funny, in many ways, that also kind of foreshadows Iron Man 3.
Exactly.
But it's funny, too, because it's like, if you think about it, at that point, his loved ones are dead. His mom and dad are dead.
Yeah.
He's not with Pepper yet. Right? Rhodey's probably the closest thing he has to a friend. Also, yeah. Terrence Howard. I wonder if he's kicking himself right now that he's not.
Terrence Howard didn't just
like take a pay cut so he could stay in the movies, because now it's Don Cheadle playing War Machine.
What do you mean? It's still Terrence. He's got tan.
Oh no, it's always been Don Cheadle, is what you mean.
Terrence
Howard.
Don Cheadle just went to Alaska, pigment changed a little bit, came, shot Iron Man 1, went down to the Bahamas after that, made some money, tanned up a little bit, came back for Iron Man 2. It's always been Don Cheadle.
It's always been Don Cheadle. Yeah.
Get it twisted.
All right, so The Incredible Hulk also came out the same year. All right, so do you want to take this one? Because, like, I know these movies very well. Like, I am a MCU savant up until, like, halfway through Phase 3.
Why would you offer me to take this movie? I've literally never seen it.
You've never seen it?
Okay. I refuse to watch
I guess this Incredible is me, Hulk. Then. All right, this is me.
I know is that someone gets kicked into the tree at the end of the movie. That's literally it.
That's like the halfway point.
That's all I've seen, 100%.
Okay,
I cannot lie to you.
Okay, I'll bring up a couple things. First of all, Bruce Banner was played by Edward Norton.
Yes.
The guy from Fight Club.
Yeah.
And America X. And it's interesting that later got replaced with Mark Ruffalo. But I'm so curious what Norton would have been like as Dr. Banner in the later movies. I that's one of the ones that I'm always like, man, I wonder.
Yeah.
But anyway, in The Incredible Hulk, he did a pretty good job with Dr. Banner. He made him much more of a spry kind of guy, because he like jumps from roofs and stuff like that at the beginning of the movie. There's this whole chase scene. And then basically, the reason for gamma rays was because they were trying to replicate the super soldier serum, which we don't know about yet, but it's Captain America, right?
Yeah.
But it goes wrong, and that's what turns him into the Hulk. But what I love about this movie is the opening credits are the origin story, because this movie's not an origin story.
No.
And the way that also works, though, earlier I mentioned Ang Lee's Hulk, which came out in 2003, I think.
Yes.
In many ways, you could say that this
was
is
the origin story.
Yes. And I thought that was a pretty clever way to link the movies. So like, you could say this is a sequel, but it can also be a standalone movie. And it's like, I thought that was a pretty good way of doing that, because this was only shortly after that movie came out, that atrocity came out. What ends up happening, like, real talk, and I'm only summarizing so you can get, like, the gist of it. All that happens, based on what I remember, the military wants to get Banner for the Hulk so they can, like, get his blood or something like that, but his blood kills people. He kills Stan Lee in that movie.
Stan Lee dies in his cameo in that movie.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Stan Lee dies in his cameo in that movie.
Yeah, what happens is, and here's how.
No
Bruce Banner's blood.
They want you to forget The Incredible
Hulk.
Yeah,
it sucked. Bruce Banner's blood falls, like, he's working in like a warehouse where there's like this juice that's getting made, and I'm not making this up.
The juice?
This sounds stupid, but I'm not making this up. And like, he gets like a cut on his finger or his arm or something, and then he like, his blood drips into one of the juices, and then the juice gets shipped to Stan Lee's house, and Stan Lee drinks it. I'm not kidding, that's what happens.
And he dies.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah,
that's his whole cameo.
This was before the cameos were really that big, because, like, in Iron Man, I think what happened? Iron Man mistakes him for Hugh Hefner or something?
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't even have a line.
Nope.
And in this, I think he said one word. But, yeah, and, like, the military wants his blood to, like, make more Hulks or soldiers. And then, what is Mr. Orange from the Reservoir Dogs? Forgot his name. He plays the Abomination. Basically, the Abomination of Obama's Nation. He basically decides that, hey, I'm a great soldier. If you jack me with the super soldier serum, I can fight the Hulk, right? And then we have this human dude who's a really good actual military expert. Also, the guy who gives him the stuff is Thunderbolt Ross, who later shows up in Civil War.
It's the only thing from
we will get to that, because there's something really funny. Remember this, okay? LaBlanche, I think, is his name, the character, but the Abomination, as a human, fights the Hulk, loses, Hulk kicks him into a tree. That's the scene you were talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's like, give me more, and then it's like, okay, they turn him to the Abomination, and then they go to Harlem, okay, and they fight in Harlem, which is shot in Toronto, along the street where I went to school, because there's the Zanzibar right there, and that's exactly where across the street from the Pizza, at least now it is. Yeah. But anyway, I know that location. Not the Zanzibar, but the Pizza.
But anyway. You know the Zanzibar. Why are you lying to me, boy?
Anyway, so basically, right? Thunderbolt Ross brings a tank and the military and everything in Harlem, and they're like, we got to kill the Hulks, because it's too much hulking, man.
Yeah.
And they
one
like...
One Hulk was a lot, but two Hulks is too many.
Yeah, and then Dr. Banner, who like, lost his Hulk power or something, some stupid side plot, he's like, I need to turn into the Hulk again. So then he jumps out of a helicopter, and then he turns into the Hulk. And that's what Ragnarok was calling back to. Also, yeah, so much jumping around, but... yeah, a lot of call forwards, but
yeah.
That's what it was calling back to, which is what... It's a great joke that, like, is even funnier if you know that. But yeah, okay, and then at the end, he says that he learns how to control the Hulk, but then that gets retconned.
Completely.
No one liked this movie, and neither did I. Let's move on. 2010, 2 years.
Go ahead.
Yeah, what do you think? What do you think?
My thoughts on the Incredible Hulk review that you just did right there is I kind of wish we did Ang Lee's Hulk.
I give this an Ang Lee's Hulk out of 10.
I give this an Ang Lee's Hulk out of 10, 100%. I don't know if I'm ever going to watch The Incredible Hulk. As I've told you before, they have blackballed that movie from almost all streaming sites. I can't find it.
Paramount Plus, I think, has it.
Paramount Plus?
I think.
Okay, so Paramount Plus just recently came out.
Yeah.
Literally last week.
Mm.
For the past 11 years.
They have not wanted you to see The Incredible Hulk.
Nope.
And I'm still not going to watch it. Thank you. Next one.
Next movie, please.
Actually, one thing that we should actually mention, Tony Stark shows up in the post-credits scene.
Oh, yeah.
And he doesn't talk to Dr. Banner. He talks to Thunderbolt Ross. And guess what? That goes nowhere. It's like, hey, we want to put together the Avengers. Nick Fury spoke to me at the end of Iron Man 1. Sorry, we forgot about that. And it's like, hey, we got to put together this team, right? He says to Thunderbolt Ross, who has no control over the Hulk or the Abomination. So I don't know what that was for. Yeah. Also, the leader gets hinted at, and that never got brought up again.
Who?
The leader, a Hulk villain. Because, there's so many great Hulk villains. Okay, next, 2010. And this is weird, right? This is the first time in the MCU where there was a whole year where nothing came out. In 2009, nothing came out from the MCU. Marcus.
Wait, what?
Yes. Did you ever... You didn't notice that?
2008, Iron Man and the Hulk.
Yeah, 2 years later, Iron Man 2 came out. Yeah. It was the only time in the MCU's history where there was a year with no movies. It's hard to think about that now.
That's crazy.
I know. So, 2010, Iron Man 2 came out.
And now we live in a time where we get a Marvel thing every Friday.
We get three
Friday.
Marvel movies every day. We get... Well, every day.
No, every Friday, we get something Marvel. Legitimately.
Oh, yeah, because the streaming services. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But in theaters, it's like three a year for Phase 3. Okay, so Iron Man 2, do you want to...
Oh, yeah, I can take Iron Man 2.
You saw this one, right?
This one, I've seen, and I...
You guys expect me to say I liked Iron Man 2? Yeah. Give Iron Man 2 like an 8 out of 10. Like a solid rating. Nah. Iron Man 2 is one of those movies that is just, it's slow. It's slow and it's all over the place. And like, there's so many should have beens and could have beens and would have beens that could have made the movie better. And they just didn't do it. So it starts off with, what?
Oh, you don't have to summarize.
Oh, you want me to summarize?
No, this will take forever if you summarize the movie. Just talk about what you liked, what you didn't like.
So, I am Iron Man. That's how the movie starts. And then you get Drago working on some stuff. He's got a bird. And you see a bunch of like shots of newspapers that are like, oh, yeah, this guy, he knew Tony Stark. His dad knew Tony Stark. That's why, that's like, Dragic doesn't really have any...
Ivan Drago?
Yeah, he doesn't really have...
Okay.
He has a motive. Don't get it twisted. He has a motive. But you don't get that motive through, like, dialogue. It's literally just pictures on walls and Tony talking about his dad.
See, I never even noticed that, but you're totally right. He never really says anything directly to Tony. Okay, now here's a funny thing. There's a scene in Iron Man 2 that I always forget, and I think it's my favorite scene in that movie. It's when Tony Stark and Ivan Drago actually sit down together in a prison cell. And I always forget that scene is in the movie. Because I'm like, yo, these two don't even talk in this movie. They do. It's in one single scene they talk.
Yeah, it's literally after he gets arrested.
It's right after he gets arrested. Okay,
at the start of the movie.
Marcus is completely right about this movie being slow. The reason it's so slow is because too much is happening. Like, too much. So we have Ivan Drago, who's the main villain. Well, no, it's Justin Hammer, isn't it? Well, Ivan Drago is like the big boom explosion villain. Yeah. And then Justin Hammer is a guy who's trying to take Tony Hawk. Trying to get his technology so that Justin Industries or Hammer Industries can be better than Stark Industries, okay?
Yeah.
And then you have Nick Fury trying to indoctrinate Iron Man into the Avengers thing.
Yes.
And then you have Black Widow's introduction, which is also very important because Natasha Romanoff, Natalie Romanoff, I think. She goes by a different name in that.
It's Natalie.
Natalie something. Yeah, it's like, hey... she's working for him as an undercover agent because she's also working with Nick Fury, but we don't know that yet. And then you have Iron Man struggling with his
for what I thought.
Go ahead. No, you talk about this.
So Iron Man is struggling with a problem, and he's always taking his toxicity level, like a blood alcohol level. And for the longest time, me and Junior both thought that he had a drinking problem throughout all of Iron Man 2.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, we didn't watch the movie enough because the drinking problem that we thought he had was that the thing in his chest was
palladium or lithium. Something is killing him from the thing in him.
The first time he made it, like he made it with something that was like toxic or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was like killing him. It was making his blood toxicity level go up or whatever, right? And the whole point of the movie is he's got to find this element to make it so that his, like, it works.
Yep.
His dad found the secret element.
Oh, and that's the other subplot of the many.
Yeah, that's another subplot. But, so he needs to get that. And the whole time, me and Junior, for years, thought that he had a drinking problem.
Mm-hmm.
No.
No, and the reason why we thought that is because there was the comics.
Demon in a Bottle.
Demon in a Bottle, right? Yeah. Where Iron Man has a drinking problem. Mm-hmm. And also, Robert Downey Jr. had a drinking problem. Mm-hmm. These are all things that just worked. But
even funnier is that there is one scene where he's drunk.
One scene. And every other scene, he is drinking fruit juice.
Yep.
He's drinking smoothies, yep. And he's being very healthy. And for some reason, me and Junior were just like...
Yeah, this is the one where he's drunk,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's drunk all the time.
Like, no.
No.
I'm going to have to ask you to exit the donut. It's like he's sober. He's just eating donuts in a donut.
Quite literally.
Yeah.
Like, quite literally. Whatever. The one scene he's drunk is when he fights Rhodey.
Yep. And that whole scene was just so that Rhodey could get a suit that he ends up getting tricked out by the military. How does Rhodey learn how to fly from the Stark Malibu Palace all the way to the military base
in an
Iron Man suit he's never worn? Tell me how the military is able to add technology, military-grade technology, right, onto his whole thing, right? His whole new Iron Man suit. And then tell me how Justin Hammer, the guy who has no Stark tech, sees this suit, doesn't do anything about it, and then says, hey, here's one of my weapons. I call it the ex-wife.
Yeah.
And he puts it on Rhodey's suit? What? Well, yeah, go ahead.
No, my favorite part is that to justify him knowing how to fly the Iron Man suit, oh, he's part of the Air Force.
Yeah. I remember that in Air Force training.
Oh, yeah. Remember in Air Force training when we had to fly those manned Iron Man suits? Yeah, it was... crazy. I don't know why we ever use them in actual practice in war, but
what?
I love flying them around. Like,
Rhodey, why have you never told me about this? Like, Tony's saying
what,
that to
him. What? Tony, you didn't know?
Okay, so, but then there's this other subplot. Not about his dad, but about Pepper running the industry instead of
That's
Tony.
That's true, yeah.
There are too many subplots. Now that I'm saying this out loud, I think we've just said six. Okay, so now...
Hold on. Did this movie come out around the same time as Spider-Man 3?
No, this came out the same time as the No, Spider-Man 3 came out in 2009. Hang on. 2002 was Spider-Man 1. Mm. 2004. So 2007. No, I'm wrong.
So Spider-Man 3 was 2007?
Yeah.
Okay. So Amazing Spider-Man was...
It was 2012, I think. Yeah, 12, because then 2014 is when the second one came out and killed
Sheesh.
The series.
Sheesh.
And then 2016 is when they're like, hey, we better fix this quick!
So Iron Man 2 is the first superhero movie to spoil the broth with too many cooks? Or no, Spider-Man 3 was the first superhero movie.
Spider-Man 3 was the first one.
To
yeah.
spoil the movie with too many cooks.
Okay, but Spider-Man 3, the problem wasn't the... That's a podcast for another.
We're not going to go too deep
into Spider-Man.
That. I was
okay.
just trying to
yeah,
figure
I,
out
yeah.
where...
Spider-Man, if you really want to get technical, Batman and Robin had three villains. Yeah,
that's true.
But okay, so... All right, so the other plot about Tony's dad. This is important that we talk about this because Tony's dad, Howard Stark, from who like died in the 90s. Oops. Spoilers. Yeah, well, anyway, he's been around for a long time, okay? And he knew Captain America and he liked Captain America. That's not the point. The point is Howard Stark, who was the genius of his time, the Nikola Tesla of this universe, right? Just way ahead of his time, making new things, technology, all that stuff, made a hover car in the 40s. We'll get to that. But he came up with this element, right? He knew that there was some sort of way to make an element that would somehow help his son somehow be able to amalgamize. I don't know. It's hard to think.
Like,
the more you think about it, wait, hang on, because it gets better. Not only did he invent this element or the combination to create this element, right?
Yeah.
He made a model of the whole city.
No. It's of the Stark Fest.
Of the Stark Fest, yeah. Right. So you're telling me not only did he make that model, but he made sure the actual Stark Fest would be accurate to that model. Did he make the model first, or did he make the Stark Fest first and look up and realize, oh my gosh, hang on, I think I'm onto something, right? And then he knew that somehow his son would have this advanced technology that could create, like, a hologram version of that, and then, like, you know, scan it, pick up that hologram, put it all together, separate things, and then... create that, and then like not only then it's like, oh hey, we have an idea for a new element, but then also his son would be able to like laser it into a piece of metal that would be able to go into his chest. Like,
nah, so
what?
So like Iron Man 2 is a very important movie in the MCU.
It is.
I don't understand why they put so much useless garbage in the movie.
Justin Hammer didn't need to be there.
No.
Ivan Drago didn't need to be
no.
there. Like it's just because it's an, you know, you gotta get kids in the seats.
Exactly.
You can't just have a drama.
No,
so
of
you
course.
Need to have some cut. I know, but that's kind of why, right? But then, okay, so Howard Stark, right?
Mm.
Just, he says the best line in the movie. Did I say there was an earlier movie that was my favorite? I lied. My favorite scene in this movie is when Howard Stark says, "My greatest creation was you." That is the best line.
Oh, yeah, yes.
And it's the best piece of character thing for Tony Stark because Tony's... Oh, also, Tony struggled with his father and not living up to his father's dreams, and that's another really... That is an intimate part of that movie. It's here and there.
You see, like...
There's too much going on.
So much.
There's too much going on in that movie.
Iron Man 2 is such an important part in the MCU.
Yep.
But it's just muddled with so much trash.
Yep.
Just, like, filler. Mm. That you lose... The plot.
Yeah.
You get lost in the plot. You get lost in the sauce. Oh.
Also, before I forget, Justin Hammer should have been one of the villains in Ant-Man and the Wasp. Okay, moving on.
Hold on. Do we want to rate these at the end? Or
no.
Like...
All right. They can get an idea.
That's true.
Ratings are overrated. Get it? 2011. Okay. 2011, we have Thor. Which was directed by Kenneth Branagh, and the reason that matters is because the only thing I knew Kenneth Branagh for was Shakespearean movies. So I thought that was the perfect choice for, like, directing Thor. Because at that point, right, in movies, we saw very bare-bones superheroes, okay? Yes. Very ground level.
Yes.
Okay? And this was the first time we saw, like, a god?
Yeah, so you're 100% right. All the superhero movies before this were, like, guys in suits.
Yep.
Guys that were like
steroids.
Oh man, I'm less than something. I gotta make myself better. Oh, I'm better with power, right?
Pretty much. But they're all human.
Yeah. Thor does not need any of that. Thor is juiced.
Mm-hmm.
Thor is one of the most overpowered characters in the MCU. He could do almost anything.
Yep.
And yeah, nah. 100%. Thor is the first movie in the MCU that's different.
Yep. Drastically. Like, but it starts off of Earth.
Yes.
Like, it's the first time we get
Jotunheim.
That. Yeah. Is that where we start?
Jotunheim.
You know that?
Yes.
Wow, dude. I can't remember a single one of those names.
Learn your Norse mythology, Junior.
Midgar? Earth Realm?
That's one of the seven realms, yes.
Outworld? Or is that Mortal Kombat? Edenia? That's Mortal Kombat 2, isn't it? Yeah, okay.
We're gonna give up on that one.
I don't know. Svartalheim was the weird one in 2.
Svartalheim,
yeah.
Anyways.
Oh my gosh, go ahead. So yeah, Thor.
Yes.
Starts with Thor killing people, or like Odin talking, but like Thor is just vicious in this movie at the beginning.
Yeah, so the Thor opens up with Odin talking. This is the furthest back in the MCU so far, anything.
Yeah.
The whole timeline. He's talking about ice giants and how they have this cube that can freeze stuff.
Oh, I forgot about all that.
The Norse people from Asgard come down to Midgard and they're all like, "Yo, we got you. We can help you out." And they go and they kill off all the ice people. Not all of them, but they kill the ice people. They take their box and then I don't know if they really point this out at the start of the movie. Like, I actually can't remember.
Bro.
But Odin apparently takes kid.
Loki. Also, can I say, this is the only time Loki has ever been blue?
Yeah.
What? Why? I guess he just got used to making himself not look blue, because he's using magic to not look blue.
Yep.
He's using magic to not look blue, yep. So why, what? He's using half his power.
He knows he's blue.
Yeah, right? He must.
Like.
Surely he must know. Okay, but, all right, so the Tesseract, because we actually have to talk about that. The Infinity Stones, because this is the first one we see.
Did the Tesseract show up yet?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, because the Tesseract, that's the artifact. It is the Tesseract.
No, the blue artifact that he's using is the Winter's Howl.
Oh, you're right up. Okay, Captain America is where we see the Tesseract.
It's a completely different
cube. Yeah, totally forgot about that. Yeah, okay. My bad.
But the Tesseract is in Thor.
It is. 1. It's just, yeah.
It's just,
it's not important.
Yeah, at all.
Yeah.
It's on Asgard.
Yeah.
That's it.
Man. Also, the Infinity Gauntlet was there, but we'll talk about that later.
Mm-hmm.
I loved what they did with that.
But yeah, Thor is a weird movie because there's two blue cubes in it and it's kind of confusing.
And you know what really, really sucks about Thor? Everything about Asgard and everything like that is awesome.
Love it.
Too bad half the movie, like most of the movie, takes place on Earth with a bunch of humans no one cares about.
Asgard.
Jane Foster, Kat Dennings, Darcy, that one dude, the old man.
You know what's funny?
What?
People don't even...
like, I was watching this video that was like, yeah, these are his kids, Alex Skarsgård and Bill Skarsgård, right?
What?
Like his two kids, right?
Thor's two kids?
No, the old guy.
Uh-huh.
The old actor, right?
Okay.
I know the name of his two kids, and I was watching a video, and the person in the video didn't tell me his first name.
Oh, no.
They just told me that his last name was Skarsgård, and I was like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
Okay, so all you need to know, Jane Foster hooks up with Thor, Kat Dennings is annoying, and the old guy is smart. Jane Foster is the second MCU love interest, because Betty Quinlan doesn't... Betty Brant? Betty... The other Betty. The Betty from Hulk. She's not in it.
See, you're saying these Bettys. I'm like, what movie you're talking about?
Oh, the Incredible Hulk. Anyway, Thor, right? Comes to Earth and he has to prove that he's worthy. And also, yeah, Odin says anyone who can lift up this hammer will have the powers of Thor. That's very important. Remember that. Thor proves that he's worthy, goes back to Asgard, kicks his brother's butt, and then the end. Like, honestly, oh, and Hawkeye's in it. Thor is a very,
Yeah, so...
It's like they needed it because we had to get the Avengers.
So Thor is a very movie. It looks great. Visually, it looks great.
Also, Thor's eyebrows are really blonde in that. Oh, it's so hilarious. Blonde.
The movie's funny, too. Like, the scene where he's in the coffee store and he's all like...
Another!
Another! It's great. Like,
breaks
Thor,
it.
Thor on Earth is very funny.
Yeah.
Like,
and he gets tased.
Yeah, no, like, the jokes about Thor being human on Earth are jokes.
Yeah.
Right? And when he has his hammer, he looks cool. Mm-hmm. The fights are great. His friends are useless against the Destroyer. Don't know why they even show up.
Oh, I forgot the Destroyer. Yeah, you know, Thor has so much... I'm surprised that movie did as well as it did. Because where do you start with Thor, right? Because it's not even an origin story. It's just him proving that he is worthy for this, right?
Yep.
And Thor becomes a really great character in the MCU, too. I'd honestly say, like, of all the characters, I strongly believe Thor is the one who has the most potential to do something interesting after. Well, yeah, we'll get to that. But yeah, Thor...
Yeah, it's very...
Captain America...
Wait, what happened to the Tesseract in that movie?
Loki goes to Earth, and then what that guy, the old man, Loki's possessed him?
Yeah.
And he sees the Tesseract. The old man sees the Tesseract in possession of Nick Fury or someone or something.
Yeah. Nick has it.
Then it's like, well, let's... What do you say we have a look? Something like that.
And the whole time you're like, why does Nick Fury have the Tesseract?
Yeah.
And then
Captain America, the first...
Avenger.
Yeah. I was about to say the first Winter War. That's all the movies in one. Winter Soldier, Civil War. All right. Yeah. Captain America, the first Avenger, which gets retconned. Ooh, stab me. I hate that. I hate that, and we'll get to that. Mm. Okay, so anyway, Captain America, the first Avenger. Captain America, okay, I will say, so, Marcus and I saw this in theaters together.
Oh, go on.
Now, the trailers, they were all right, right? We didn't really have that big expectation. We're just like, yeah, okay, let's see a movie.
Between the two of us, neither of us are big Captain America fans.
Yeah.
We've read comics. Your favorite comic book hero was Spider-Man.
Always, yeah.
And I didn't really have one. I just knew of comics. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, oh, they're cool. I guess it was Batman at the time, because I'll just say that's generic. But Captain America was kind of just on a whim.
Yeah, Captain America, all right. Okay, now, the best thing about this movie, right, is that it is so unapologetically just like, it's cheesy, man. It's there's so much cheese in this movie, and it's great. Like, it is just beautiful sometimes. And there's a lot of, like, really good heartfelt moments. Like, I really like the first Avenger.
Me too.
So, like, the scene, you know, I could do this all day when he's getting beaten up by that bully.
Yep.
The scene where the doctor says, do you want to kill Nazis? And then it's like, I don't want to kill anybody, right?
No,
it's like, I realize that being in war, like, I have to do some things that are going to be pretty bad, which is that's like the core value of Captain America right there. And they also made him much more interesting than the comics, because realistically there are versions of Captain America that are interesting, but then there are some that's just, he's just like the straight, like, you know, the regular,
he's literally an American soldier.
Yeah, that's it. There's nothing else to him, like, no. Wonder Bread kind of guy. But they did make him much more interesting.
No, 100%.
And I will say, like, he's my dad's favorite character. But another thing that they did right, I was surprised that they did the super soldier serum at all. Because really? It's like, yeah, because I remember thinking, like, it's kind of like encouraging steroids, but the way they did it makes it seem a lot less like that.
Yeah.
Because, like, Captain America, the hero who we all know as being, you know, be yourself, be good, be blah, 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 blah. It's like, Cap, how did you get your powers? Right? And that's the only thing that I always did think was kind of weird about Captain America preaching to anybody about being themselves. When he gets into the army, this is another thing I really loved about this movie.
I love these scenes, they're great.
He's in the the comic book Captain America suit, and he's just doing propaganda stage shows, right? Mm-hmm. And like the soldiers, even though Cap has always wanted to join the army, it's just his body physically he couldn't do it. And he gets in there, but it's only as a stage show guy. It's not even as a regular soldier, and he's mad about that, right? Yeah. And he gets teased by all the soldiers and stuff like that in the audience, and it's like, man, this guy can't catch a break, right? And it's also funny to see Chris Evans in, like, the comic book Captain America costume, which is great. Also, Howard Stark's there. whatever. Peggy Carter gets introduced in this movie, too, and that's his love interest. And I think of all the MCU love interests, she's probably the most, like, independent. Like, I guess Pepper, but, like, Peggy's, like, on the war zone.
Pepper's not that independent. She was given Stark Industries. Peggy made S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay. Yeah, you have a point there.
She made S.H.I.E.L.D.
She made it.
She made S.H.I.E.L.D. May have been taken over by Hydra at some point, but she made S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. I like any movie where when a character kills somebody, they feel, like, ill after. And so... You understand Thor, he's he can kill whatever because he's like a soldier, right?
Yep.
Hulk, he doesn't really control it. He does feel regret too.
Yeah, he knows Bruce he's Banner. Doing it.
So, yeah, how many people did I kill? And then Iron Man's the only weird one. Because honestly, Captain America killing? No, I get it. It's like, yeah. Soldier. Yeah, but and like he would have been exposed to all this propaganda. So when he does it, he knows it's in the name of his country and he's very patriotic.
It's not until like Winter Soldier and Civil War that
kind of break down through that.
Questioning, being a soldier for
is
America.
Such just a great commentary. Oh, but great. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Okay. So in this movie, there's a really weird scene though, where Captain America's driving a motorcycle and he pushes a button and it destroys the thing in front of him. Okay. And that is the least Captain America thing ever. Like using technology and stuff like that. That's just not. It's not him,
it's
right?
Not
and
Cap,
and
no.
They fix it in Winter Soldier. But what else? Red Skull's the villain.
Red Skull is the villain in that movie.
I didn't remember anything interesting about him. Like, he's just the bad guy. He looked at the Tesseract, and that's what causes him to have the Red Skull.
Yeah, so the Tesseract in this movie is really interesting because it starts off in, like, someplace in Germany.
And it's icy?
Yeah. Well, no, it's not icy.
Don't they break it out of something?
They
find it?
They shoot a rocket at a church from a tank. Yeah, so they shoot a rocket at a church from a tank, right? Because it's the Nazis invading, like, German places, right? And they're looking for artifacts for Hitler, right? The Red Skull goes in, and he's all like, yeah, Hitler's out here looking for all this, like, weird stuff in deserts and whatnot when it's right under his nose here in, Norway, I'm gonna say, I guess.
Okay.
Or whatever. And, he finds one Tesseract, it's a fake, breaks, and then he presses, there's, like, a tree, like a world tree. That you press a button and the Tesseract pops out, and that's when he finds the actual Tesseract.
Really?
Yeah, so, like, I'm guessing, no one ever explains this, I'm guessing Odin gave it to the humans at some point in time to hide, which is stupid, because there's no other point in time that anyone from Thor gave the Tesseract.
No, because Loki fell, and then he had the Tesseract on him, I think. Because I think that's also the excuse for why Loki doesn't just die. He used the Tesseract to teleport. I think. I remember, this is off of memory.
But then, like, because, like...
Yeah, why is it there? Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Because, like, they find the Tesseract, and then at the end of the movie, they fight on the plane, and the Tesseract freezes underwater. Well, actually, no, it falls out of the plane first,
yeah, it falls.
And then it freezes underwater.
Yeah, also, the Tesseract. Yeah, we have no idea what it does.
At all!
When it shoots lasers out of guns...
I don't know how he was able to modify it to do that. That's not
human technology.
No. Nope.
Like, you can't measure that.
Whatever.
Sure.
Also, the Red Skull's face, though. He gets a red skull because he looks at the Tesseract. That's very important because everyone looks at the Tesseract in this movie. And their face is fine.
Bro, they've been looking at the Tesseract since then.
Nick Fury literally picks it up in the next movie.
Yep.
2012, we got the Avengers. Marvel's The Avengers. Not to be confused with 1998's The Avengers, which was a British movie based on a British sitcom that no one watched from America. Yeah, that's why it's called... Did you know that? That's why it's called Marvel's The Avengers? That's why. That's why.
I know that.
Yeah.
That's weird.
I know. What's even weirder? Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You're telling me there was another show called
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Anyway. Okay, Marvel's The Avengers. So this was the biggest... Bro, like...
The biggest crossover
at
the time?
This had never happened before, okay? When this movie came out, there were so many advertisements, so many things. And I remember even my friends and I being like, what if it sucks? Because at this point, we had more bad MCU movies than we had good.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Iron Man 1 was like
really good one, yeah. I think Captain America the First Avenger and Iron Man are the most like, okay, cool, this is a good movie,
yeah.
Right? Thor is, it's good, but it's just not that interesting. Like,
like Chris Hemsworth and Tom Hiddleston, there's no reason for you to be watching this movie.
Yeah, and even then, Tom Hiddleston isn't, like, jokey Loki.
Nope.
Really, he's not. So, it's a bit of a drag, Thor. But yeah, so, when this movie came out, man, it was insane, because everyone thought it would fail, first of all, because Zach Penn was the original screenplay writer and director, and then it was handed over to Joss Whedon. And Joss Whedon changed everything into, like, his own style, and that was when, like, you and I were getting into Buffy and stuff like that.
Yeah,
good times. 2012, that was a long time ago. That was almost 10 years ago.
Gosh,
yeah. Good times. So, when this movie came out, though, man, every other movie franchise, because this was the start of the movie franchise,
yes.
The Marvel Cinematic Universe, right? Yeah. Every movie people...
One,
yeah, it is. Yeah. Everyone was trying to hop on that Cinematic Universe hype train, okay? I think... Okay, so, like, I'm thinking, like, the Dark Universe. I'm thinking, like, DC. Oh, boy. Because at that point, DC had The Dark Knight, which was its own thing,
yeah.
And then Man of Steel, which was kind of its own thing, but then they tried to put them together.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's a video for another day.
Yeah. And then X-Men, The Mummy.
Oh, yeah, the Dark Universe, that's what that is. And then they were trying with Godzilla.
They're still trying with Godzilla.
I know, it's Godzilla is another weird case. But a lot of movies are trying to put things together later. This was much later, but M. Night Shyamalan... trying to say that Glass and Unbreakable were the same universe, and Split as well.
So forced.
Yeah,
so
right? Forced. Everyone was trying to get on that hype train because the Avengers broke records, man.
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
And here's the funny thing. If you watch the Avengers now, with the MCU movies we have now, right? Infinity War. Just as an example, Infinity War. When you go back to the first Avengers... Like, simpler times, first of all, but also, this movie starts with a bit of an action scene, right? Where, and this isn't a summary, but I just want to point this out.
Yeah.
Starts with a little action scene where, like, Loki takes the Tesseract from Nick Fury, okay?
Yep.
And then Loki goes to a museum, and then Captain America and Iron Man stop Loki at the museum.
Yep.
And then a bunch of bickering happens for hours, like for an hour and a half of just them arguing. And then Hulk becomes Hulk, and then they get off the ship because Loki is now off the ship, and then they fight in New York. A lot of this movie is just them bickering. It's so weird watching it now, realizing that.
I love how you explain the movie, like the bickering parts, because like that's like what you're leaving out is actually irrelevant. You're right.
Like, as far as advancing the plot, yes, I'm completely right. As far as like letting the plot go forward,
right?
Loki chills on a ship for like an hour.
Yeah, nah. So Loki steals Tesseract from Nick Fury.
Yep.
Loki leaves. Loki goes to museum.
Mm-hmm.
For why? Who knows? Just to go.
I forgot his reason too.
I don't know. Just a flex. That's all I could think.
For real.
Captain America and Iron Man, the only Avengers we have right now, go to stop him.
Mm-hmm.
They do. They succeed.
Yeah.
Movie could end. But then Thor shows
Thor
up.
Thor shows up. That was, I was just gonna say, I forgot the Thor part.
Yeah, see, Thor forgot shows up the Thor while part. They're flying, and Thor's all like, "This is my brother. Goodbye."
No, not goodbye. He's like, "This is my brother. If you're taking him into custody, I'm going with you." Because that's why Thor is on the ship with them.
Well, no, but first he takes him.
Oh, you're right.
He literally then, takes him, then they fight in the woods. Right, then
Iron
for
Man
no reason.
Interrupts him. Bro, this movie is so, like, contrived. It's so ridiculous. Many things. And, like, not gonna lie, I like this movie. I really do. And when it came out, I think what made it awesome to so many people was the fact that these characters were all together.
Yeah.
Imagine watching separate movies, seeing them develop separately.
Yeah.
Right? And then throwing them together, right? Yeah. The closest, what did we get? Like, Freddy versus Jason before that? Alien versus Predator? And both of those. Well, Freddy versus Jason, I'd argue, is kind of fun.
Yeah, no, I think.
Alien
I
versus
think
Predator
you're
sucks.
100% right. Those are the. Like, the most similar crossovers to the Avengers movies.
If you go to, like, the 60s, Frankenstein versus the werewolf.
Yeah.
That's the, or meets the werewolf. Those that's about it. Yeah, the monster movies. That's the closest we had to that.
Yeah.
So, it was just stellar to see that. So, anytime they were bickering and stuff like that, it's like, oh, cool. Because, like, that's his personality. Like, this is Captain America, the guy who grew up in poverty. And, like, you know, he had to aspire to be something. He meets the son of the guy that idolized him and like wanted to, it's like, oh, I met your father, he was a great guy, I don't know what happened to you, what's your problem? But then Tony Stark, who's like, my dad was a complete like jerk to me, sees Captain America, oh, you're his golden boy that
you're the one that could have been his son, huh?
Yeah, that's such a great interaction.
Yeah, no, 100%.
I really wish Thor and Hulk, or like, because a lot of this movie, it is very Iron Man centric.
Yep.
Like, and it's to be expected. He's started the MCU, right?
Yeah.
But, like, Black Widow talks about having read in her leisure and whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, what's his face? Hawkeye gets hypnotized.
Yeah.
And he's for, like, the whole movie, pretty much.
Essentially, yes.
And then Nick Fury tells them, hey, like,
Can I just recap this movie, please?
Go ahead.
I really, like, Marvel's Avengers is one of those movies that I just love talking about and recapping because it's ridiculous.
Yeah. All
right? So, Thor takes Loki off the ship, right? It says bye, and then they go into the woods and they fight. Cool fight. You gotta love it, you know? It's the first time that they do the shield thing.
Yeah. Thor hits Captain America's shield.
And then they start using it in fights later on. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. Like, there's a lot of cool callbacks from, little things. From, Iron Man 1, he freezes in the air. He never freezes again because of altitude. Because he's got vents in his suit, right? He always, like, everyone learns.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. But then they get on the ship, right? It's like, look, I'll go with you and my brother, blah, blah, blah. It's all Loki's plan because he knows that the Hulk's there. And he just wants him to get on the small ship in the air. And he destroys the ship, calls Hawkeye. Hawkeye blows up some stuff. Iron Man has to, like, stop a turbine with the Captain America's help.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yep. Stupid. All stupid.
Bro. I love that, like, Iron Man. Okay. And I think this is, like, it's so funny. Like, I feel bad for Captain America in that movie because he just got out of, like, a war.
Yep.
Gets unthawed, comes to a new world, and it's like, okay, we're back to war again. All right. And then it's like, nothing's the same.
Nothing
it's
works
like,
the same.
Okay, Cap, open this thing, Cap. It's like, all right, what do you see? It seems to run on some form of electricity. Oh, well, you're not wrong. You're right.
Like,
what
did
Cap
you expect
do?
Captain America
what
to do?
What is he gonna say?
I'm from the 60s, bro. What do you want from me?
I feel so bad for him in that scene.
Like,
I'm like, oh, this poor guy can't catch a break. But then Iron Man mentions, too, everything special about you came out of a bottle, which is another really good line. Like, the juxtaposition between the two.
Yeah.
But anyway, as you were saying.
So, all that's happening. Ship's getting destroyed, whatever. Loki's there. It's all like, oh, yeah, my whole plan was to let the Hulk out, right? And then irrelevant character Coulson...
Oh my gosh!
Irrelevant character Coulson.
I forgot about Coulson.
Big gun. And does he even shoot it?
Yeah, he shoots it.
Yes.
He gets stabbed.
He shoots it, and then Loki's he's all like, yeah. Juxtaposition. Loki does like a shadow clone jutsu and stabs him.
No,
in the back.
He stabs him before he shoots it.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
And then when he's dying,
when
he
he's
shoots
on the ground,
it.
He shoots it.
Yes, you're right.
And
you're
then
right,
it's like, so
right.
That's what it does. Yeah.
But. So, like, apparently Nick Fury put Coulson on the ship the whole time because Coulson's just a big superhero fan, and he had, like, Captain America
cards. He's a big Captain America fan.
And he dies, and Captain America cards, Captain blood on the cards.
See, but hang on. Did you notice though?
What?
Nick Fury says we found these cards in Coulson's pocket. Look, he's dead now, right? You guys better team up and be Avengers. Avenge this man, right?
Yeah.
And then they leave, and then Kobe Smolder, who plays Maria Hill, also another irrelevant character, she says, "Sir, we didn't find those in his jacket. We found them in his locker." And then Nick Fury says, "They needed a push."
Yeah.
So they weren't in Coulson's possession. That's the funny part. Nick Fury did that because he knew that that would motivate them.
Like...
And yeah, Fury's a great character.
No, Nick Fury is great.
He's a great character.
Because
yeah.
Nick Fury is a person that is always working towards a goal, and you might not know what it is in the long run, but he has a plan.
He knows.
He knows what's going on.
He knows what's going on. He always knows. Yeah, that's Fury's thing. He always knows.
From the jump.
Yep.
He always knows. But so yeah, they go down, they stop the Chitauri invasion.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, Loki's like...
Yeah, what are they fighting? Yeah.
Loki's like, I'm going to open up a rift in the sky.
Yeah, because, like, Thanos...
Yeah.
The Other, which is... That's his name. The Other.
Yeah.
Played by Alexis Denisov. Wesley Wyndham Price from... Yeah. Yeah, because he's just like, yo, Thanos, give me an army, and I can stop Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Period.
Mm-hmm. and then Thanos gives him the Mind Stone as well, which is inside the... thing, which is what the scepter, which allows Loki to mind control people.
Yes.
Right? So yeah, Loki, like you said, in New York.
Yeah. Chitauri, so Loki's in New York. Got the Chitauri army. They're attacking, going crazy. There's a rift in the sky. It's like, wow, it's wild. The Hulk turns into the Hulk. It's a big fight. They destroy New York. They literally destroy New York. And you may be thinking, oh, well, it's a superhero fight. They always destroy New York. Don't worry. Them destroying New York comes back in so many things.
It does. It does.
It's literally the only connection that these shows have.
It's so true.
Anyways. Okay. So, yeah, destroyed New York. Everything's going crazy. They finally defeat all the Chitauri, and they're like, oh, wow, they're gone. But the rift's still open, so more Chitauri come through. Simple as that.
Yep.
So then the military's like, let's nuke it. Let's just nuke it. The military says, let's just nuke it, right?
Yo, this plot is wild. I forgot about that.
The military goes ahead and nukes New York, right?
Yeah.
Not the portal.
What was their plan here? Like, actually, what was their plan? Blow up the whole city.
They nuke New York, right? Thinking that they're geniuses.
Mm.
And Iron Man's all like, nah.
Nah.
Yeah. So he pulls his hero mode thing, which is unexpected for Iron Man because he doesn't really say, like...
No, like, he hasn't really made a sacrifice. And that's what Captain America calls him out on.
Yeah.
But then it's really funny how he makes a sacrifice in this movie, but then later on in Civil War, he talks about the same thing. It's like, did we not see Avengers? He already proved himself. What the heck? But anyway, yeah.
But yeah, so he grabs the nuclear missile with his bare hands. In the Iron Man suit.
He's not wearing a suit, by the way.
Yeah,
Tony Stark takes his private jet.
So he flies it up, goes into the rift. It blows up. He falls back out of the rift before it closes.
Mm-hmm.
They is saved. They go eat shawarma.
Yep.
That's Avengers.
That's it.
And, like... Listen to that plot, bro.
A lot happens, like, but like in a good way. It's not like Iron Man 2 over here where too much is happening.
Too much
like
is going on.
You get what's happening. They follow the characters very well. I think Thor does the least in the movie.
100%, yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't get a lot of standout moments. Like there's literally a scene where Thor is about to do something and then Hulk does it anyway and it's like, "Oh, that sucks." Like any Thor fans, man. Hulk's transformation was also really awesome. There's a lot of awesome scenes. There's a lot of great shots.
Avengers is a good movie in its third act. Really good movie in its third act.
Yeah, man. Second act just keeps going.
Second act, it seems like it will never end.
Yep.
And the first act is quick.
Yep. Don't forget to comment down below. Junior and Marcus.